how'd you do? Nice people, fine people, Arabian people. Yes, yes, I've met some very nice people. Some very, very, very nice people. But you meet the nicest people in your dreams. It's funny, but it's true. And that's where I first met you. And you're the nicest, paradisest thing I ever knew. I've looked the universe over, from Wackenack, Sac to Dover. And now that we have met, how sweet it seems. I love you more the more I know you, which only goes to show you. You meet the nicest people in your dreams.
That wasn't my normal theme you heard there. This is Radio. This is Andy Sr., and this is being broadcast on WHCL 88.7 FM, WHCL.org this evening, but it's not being recorded here in Clinton. I'm recording this today in Hudson, New York, and I'm at the home of Rich Connedy. And Rich, of course, is a well-known broadcaster. He's been doing the big broadcast for, what, 37 years now?
37 years in January.
37. Well, it will be pretty close. December 31st, 1972?
I think that was the first Sunday that the other hosts of the show stopped showing up. So I claim the show as my own the first Sunday in January.
Well, we just heard Rich's theme, which is you meet the nicest people in your dreams. So you didn't hear Wake Up Chillin', which is okay. You know, giving Willard Robeson a rest for a week here. And Rich, it's so wonderful that you agreed to do this, because I mean this will be a marvelous thing for I want to talk to you, because you never talk much on your show about the history of what you do. It's more of a, you know, it's a week to week thing, but you've had so many years in radio. You've been into this music for 40 years. And I just want to know, where do we begin here? What's the starting point? How did you get interested? And by the way, before I get further here, before I totally flub a plug here, Rich's show is on WFUV, which is a New York radio station out of Fordham University, WFUV.org. So please check out his links and his archives, which is all archived right on my Radiola blog. But that's just to start with. So, essentially, where do we start with your interest in the music of the 20s and 30s?
Well, I was a collector. I collected stamps, I collected coins, I got very big into comic books, I published a fanzine, and then just one day I was fishing around at night on the radio and I heard a show out of the Hofstra University station, WVHC, it's called something else now, and it was also at 88.7. And I heard this show called Genesis of a Record, Wednesday night show done by a fellow named Mark Adler, who might have been an alumni at that point of Hofstra. And he did this wild show where he opened with Nelson Eddy, he closed with Bing, Goodnight Sweetheart, and he played the Mills Brothers, and one of the records that I can still remember having an impact on me when I was, I don't know, 13, 14 years old, the Rhythm Boys recording of Wa-Da-Da. And it reached me, and it reached me. I was never a music fan. I mean, I was alive when the Beatles came. I saw them on Sullivan, but it had no impact on me. I didn't care about music. I didn't care about popular music. I didn't care about any kind of music until I heard these records from the 20s and 30s, and it made all the difference.
I think Robert Crumb put it very well. He said he was syncopation deprived. He had a syncopation deficiency, and when he discovered this music, he found what he'd been missing. And
well, my parents, the music that I listened to, it was too old for them. My parents were both born in 1925. My dad liked the King Cole Trio. He liked Stan Kenton. My mom liked Sammy Kaye and Sinatra, so the idea of their son listening to acoustic Whiteman records must have been very strange.
You had that too, huh? Well, there's a lot of that going around in this field.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that got me a pass when I was in high school, because kids, like adults, can be very cruel, the fact that I had this interest in music would have kind of made me odd, except from the time that the word got out that I collected old records, I was already on the radio. So I was on the radio junior year in high school, so just the fact being on the radio negated the weirdness of what I was interested in, because it was kind of hip to be a high school kid on the radio.
Oh, I have to say so. Yes, and Wa-Da-Da, that's the record that's the one that caught you.
Yeah, I mean, I think I even joined it in progress, and I had never heard anything like that before, and you know, naturally I grew up with Bing Crosby, but it was the Christmas special Bing with the second family.
Oh yes, with Nathaniel and Catherine and those people, yes.
The orange juice years.
Yes, indeed, Minute Maid.
So, you know, I really didn't know about the pre-OJ Bing, but the Rhythm Boys got me there, and of course back then there were a lot of LP reissues. There were a lot of, you know, radio shows around that were still playing recordings that old. So it wasn't all that tough if you had that initial interest. So if you heard, you know, Louie, or you heard Ellington, or you heard the Rhythm Boys, or you heard the Mills Brothers or the Boswell Sisters, it wasn't that difficult to turn up LPs, because there was a wonderful series on RCA, Decca not so much, but Columbia and Epic, they all had LPs out, you know, mining their archives. So, you know, it was sort of a soft landing for me. I was able to turn up this stuff pretty early on.
Well, let's listen to Wa-Da-Da, which I hope it catches somebody out there.
Boy, it's gonna get you down. Get that rhythm, boy, it's hot. one other. Everybody's doing it now. You can't keep your puppy still. Always on your toes. Go one other, one other. Everybody's doing it now.
Why say there?
Old ones, young ones, short, fat, or tall. Lady, baby, it gets them all. What's that rhythm? What's that sound? Everybody knows. Oh, what da 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 da. Everybody's doing it now.
Why say there?
Old ones, young ones, short, fat, or tall. Ladies, baby, it gets them all. Now what's that rhythm, what's that sound? Everybody knows. Oh, one, da, 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 da. Everybody's doing it now.
Who'll be our next president
on election day?
Now we don't care who's president as long as he can say. Now
Congress,
I see,
knows what our country needs.
Yeah, Congress knows. And by the way, have you received your package of seeds?
Oh, what's the difference who gets in as long as he can sing? Oh, what da 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 da. Everybody do, everybody do, everybody doing it now.
Yes, yes, the Rhythm Boys, and who were they?
Harry Barris, Al Rinker, and Bing Crosby. And Wada Da was a Barris song. I forget who the collaborator was. I can look at the record, but yeah, Barris was the brains of the operation, because evidently Crosby and Rinker, who got hired by Whiteman in late 26, were sort of floundering. And Matty Malnick knew Barris, got him into the Whiteman band, and Barris got the trio in shape.
Well, they had already made a record with, was it Don Clark's orchestra on the West Coast?
Yeah, they made I've Got the Girl, and then that was in October 26th, December 26th, they record with Whiteman in Chicago, Wistful and Blue, then I think they do Pretty Lips, and then I think the first Rhythm Boys records with Whiteman, February or April of 27.
And so going from there, you have something here by Isham Jones.
Yeah, I mentioned about the LPs that were available to me as a kid in the early 70s. There was an Isham Jones LP that came out on the Ace of Hearts label, an English label of the 1930-31 Brunswick sides. As I mentioned, encores from the 30s on Epic, which was produced by Larry Carr, and Decca, which for some reason they didn't put out as much material as the other labels. Then they had Simulated Stereo, so that was
sort of a
drag. But anyhow, I got three selections from latter day issues of some of the things that I heard on some of the LPs that I first bought. And that's Mills Brothers Tiger Rag, Frankie Trumbauer's orchestra with Smith Ballou doing Happy Feet, although they credited Harold Arlen in that epic LP, and Frank Silvano with the Isham Jones Band, You're Just a Dream Come True.
Well, let's hear You're Just a Dream Come True, vocal by Frank Silvano.
Thank you. every scheme, dear, depends on you. My hopes were stranded like ships at sea, but now you've handed them back to me. Cast fate like magic beneath your spell. It's really tragic the way I fell. My life's ambition, sweetheart, I found in you. You're just a dream come true.
Thank you. that tiger. Hold 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 that tiger. Where's that tiger? Where's that tiger? Here's that tiger. Where's that tiger? Here's that tiger. Where's that tiger? Here's that tiger. Here's that tiger. Hunt it up, bum, bum, biddy, diddy, da, 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 da,
a great set. I enjoyed the. Now, I know you do have a special fondness for that Mills Brothers recording, which we heard, and we'll talk about all the recordings that we played. So that was another one that kind of grabbed you early on, I'm guessing.
Yeah, that was on those wonderful 30s, the Decca 2 record set, and it was just a minute 47 seconds of heaven for this teenage boy. And when I graduated from high school, you know, my parents said, well, what do you want as a graduation present? And I wanted to see the Mills Brothers. And they were performing at the St. Regis Hotel, the Café Régionnet. So my parents took me and my cousin Joe, and we went to see the Mills Brothers. And, you know, their act was basically the paper doll, cab driver, Mills Brothers material, you know, which is great stuff. I think they might have done the simulating the instruments on maybe Basin Street Blues, but we had the chance after the show to talk to Herbert and Donald. You know, and we were just a couple of starry-eyed kids talking about Tiger Rag and Digga Digga Doo and their brother John Jr., who played guitar and sang bass. And I mean, that was one of the wonderful things about, you know, growing up when I did. I didn't live through the era itself, but I was fortunate enough that in the early 70s and even into the 80s, there were still a lot of these people still around. So I got to see Bing on stage. I got to meet the Mills Brothers, meet Connie Boswell, Annette Hanshaw, Arthur Tracy, Dolly Dawn. You know, I'm very lucky, and got drunk with Cab Calloway. That's one of my favorite episodes. So, yeah, I mean, that was... But that record of Tiger Rag was the record I played more than any other in the early years of the show, and I still happily play it, except it's now at least every 20 weeks in between. I mean, in the first days of the big broadcast, it was probably almost every week that I would play Tiger Rag. But I didn't have that many albums, and I could be forgiven that.
And before that, the Happy Feet with us. Well, Smith Ballou, you said that it was credited to Harold Arlen on the LP.
Yeah, the original Encores in the 30s LP, it sounded a little like Harold Arlen, but it was Smith Ballou from The King of Jazz, and which I saw, I think, when I was a kid, and they probably still do it, that they, you know, they screen movies at the Museum of Modern Art. And I think that was the first place that I saw King of Jazz. And I know for a fact it was the first place that I saw the big broadcast, the Paramount picture from 1932. And what was really cool, and again, it was me and my cousin Joe, we go to MoMA, sitting in the theater, see this wonderful picture, the big broadcast, with Bing and Stu Irwin, Burns and Allen, Cab Calloway, the Mills Brothers, the Boswell Sisters, Eddie Lang backing Bing on Dinah.
Oh, yeah.
And Arthur Tracy, the street singer. And who is sitting in the row behind us but Arthur Tracy? Now, I don't know if I met Arthur that day, but I, you know, Arthur became a friend of mine, and Arthur sang at my wedding. And, you know, he was a cool old guy, sharp as a tack. And there he was. You know, it was just such a privilege to get to know one of the stars of the big broadcast.
Arthur lived into his late 90s.
He was shooting for 100, but he didn't quite make it, but he got very close.
Okay, we're going to continue here on Radio. I'm Andy Sr., and I'm talking to Rich Connolly. We're at his home in Hudson, New York, and this is being heard on WHCL 88.7 FM. So next we have the Silver Mass Tenor.
Yeah, the reason I'm playing this, well, one thing that just occurs to me is a couple of months ago we did a fundraiser and we had the Silver Masked Tenor's son, Bobby White, record a cylinder with the Nighthawks. The Silver Masked Tenor was Joseph M. White. He was accompanied by the B.F. Goodrich Silvertown Court Orchestra. And again, I'm not sure who wrote this tune, but a month or so ago I was doing a tribute to one of the songwriters, and I'm looking on the ASCAP database and I see I'm Lonely Without You, and I said, I've got that record. And I knew right where to grab it on the shelf. It's on a RCA Vintage LP 1926. I knew that I had it. I knew what album it was on. The strange thing was, I'd never played it on the show. I played all the other tracks on this LP. So this record, to the best of my knowledge, although I've had this album since like 1974, I've never played this record before.
It's never been on the big broadcast.
Never been on the big broadcast.
So we're going to premiere it on Radiola. Here's the Goodrich, B.F. Goodrich Silvertown Court Orchestra. I'm Lonely Without You, vocal by, well, you know who.
Thank you. don't bother Tennessee lady. He only thinks and drinks the dew from the Tennessee still.
Okay, Coon Sanders, very, very nice, as always. So, what about this record?
This, again, is something that I played early on in the show. I mean, I'll still play Coon Sanders. There was an RCA vintage LP of Coon Sanders. The early TOM label, the Old Masters label, which was a predecessor of the George Morrow, the Old Masters CDs. So that was around. So, you know, there was a lot of Coon Sanders on vinyl in the early days of the show. And now, with the TOM CDs, you've got a ton of Coon Sanders on the four CDs. There's also a CD out on Retrieval. But in the early days of the show, I relied on that RCA vinyl, and Tennessee Lazy was one of the ones I regularly played.
So now, Venuti and Lang.
One of the shows that I heard as a kid in New York City was a show called Just Jazz with Ed Beach. And WRVR was this all-jazz station, and they had a pretty, you know, it was contemporary stuff, but they also had pockets of specialty shows, and the one that I really enjoyed was Ed Beach's show. And he would do tributes to Bix and Trumbauer, and I remember he did a show on Lang and Venuti. And another one of the early LP sets that I bought was String and the Blues, a two LP set on Columbia. And Eddie Lang, Joe Venuti were a staple in the early days of the big broadcast, and I mean they still are, but you know, as the show has grown and the number of people that get included has grown, the Mills Brothers and Lang and Venuti and the Boswell Sisters, they don't get as much space as they used to. So this record, A String in the Blues, is one that I played fairly regularly in the early days of the show.
Okay, now we have Elmer Feldkamp with Burt Lown.
Yeah, I was thinking about how the show has changed over the decades. And the show kind of started out with a little bit of jazz, but mostly personality records. Bing and the Mills Brothers, the Boswell Sisters, and very little dance bands, no British dance bands, and not really much jazz. And it's funny, you know, the people that are put in your life. There was a fella who was a close friend of Vince Giordano's, a Depression-era dance band record collector, Mike Sambach. And Mike played the trombone, and just to back up a little, Vince's band, the Nighthawks, has its roots on the big broadcast. I tried to get a band together, really didn't get anywhere until Vince came into the picture, and Mike used to play trombone in the early editions of the Nighthawks. Mike was a dance band collector. That was an area that I knew nothing about, and he would come on the show, I don't know, a few times a year, throw a bunch of dance bands on an open reel, and the show would be devoted to his collection. And it never really registered with me until years later. And now it's hard to imagine the big broadcast without Ben Selvin or Burt Lown. And in the same way, there was a fella, Mike Goldberg, who was a friend, and he lobbied for British dance bands, particularly the Ray Noble Orchestra, but also Jack Payne and Henry Hall and all those guys. And again, it was an area I didn't know about. There wasn't as much British dance band material out on LP. I think Monmouth Evergreen had done a number of Ray Noble LPs. And it was funny that this fellow Mike, the two people he pushed were Ray Noble and Louis Armstrong. It's embarrassing to admit that I really didn't know anything about Louis. I mean, I grew up with Louis, and again, the way that I grew up with the Crosby Christmas special Bing, I grew up with the Hello Dolly Louie.
Oh, yes.
And was unaware of what had come before. The Hot Fives, the Hot Sevens, and then the big band stuff, and then, you know, into the Decca years. So I'm very grateful to these people that entered my life and had such a big influence on the show, because, you know, I might have stumbled upon this at some point, but it's really made a big difference in the show, the jazz and the British and American dance bands.
Let's hear some dance bands. Here's Elmer Feldkamp with Burt Lown.
Mm-hmm. than your arms around me. What more do I need? Since your lips have found me, even though we may realize we're living in a fool's paradise, what's sweeter to hear than love's old sweet story? What matter, my dear, if you're not sincere? But while the moon's above, I'll whisper words of love. This must be heaven. What more can I ask?
And I'm doing, 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 and I'm doing,
a ding dong daddy. Well, some days I feel like a ding dong daddy, but today I'm sitting here with Rich Connolly in his home in Hudson, New York. And this is Radio. I'm Andy Senior, and boy, I'm thrilled and very grateful for you to have participated in this, because you know, usually people have to listen to me talking, and that's worse. Believe me, that's much worse. Yes, and this is WHCL 88.7 FM, WHCL.org, and so yes, there's Louie, and we discussed all this indeed. But anything special about that particular recording, about I'm a Ding Dong Daddy from Dumas?
I just love the enthusiasm. I love, it's one of the records that Louie made on the West Coast. So Lionel Hampton is the drummer. And it's just such a hip, enjoyable record in so many areas. We also heard Al Boley with Ray Noble's orchestra, one that I don't think I play as often as, The Very Thought of You or Love is the Sweetest Thing, but it's also a Ray Noble composition, What More Can I Ask? And I'm just a sucker for the Ray Noble band, the Al Boley vocals, and those great Noble songs.
And next, I think we've got... this is... Now you got your Desert Island category. I want you to talk about this. I think we have some common ground here, by the way.
Well, you know, there's two approaches I've taken to this in the past. You know, I've put together a list of 10 records, you know, if I were shipwrecked. But then the other approach that I take is that if I was on a desert island, I would want two house bands. And the house bands would be McKinney's Cotton Pickers and Ted Weems. So what I've done is I picked out among my favorite records by both McKinney's and Weems, and also one of my a record that shows up whenever I put a Desert Island list together, which is the Dorsey Brothers Orchestra doing Breakaway. The thing that I dig about both McKinney's and Weems, you take a band like Gene Goldcat, which everybody, you know, they love because of Bix, but there's also the soap opera surrounding the Goldcat band.
Yes.
But when it really comes right down to it, there were maybe three or four great Goldcat records.
Yes.
I mean, you could make a case that there are lots of great Fletcher Henderson records too. But the thing that I like, and at least I link McKinney's and Weems in my head, is they were both recording for Victor around the same period, Weems earlier and later, but it's not like there are just five great McKinney's records or five great Weems records. There are dozens. It's rare that you're disappointed with a Victor record by either of those bands. So in my feeling was, if I were going to be shipwrecked with two orchestras, I would want bands that had a nice depth in their library, you know, rather than have the Goldcat band just keep playing Clementine and My Pretty Girl.
Yeah,
it doesn't mean I don't like them, but there's just so much, so many good records by both Weems and McKinney's.
Well, I mean, today I think I'd want to be shipwrecked with Vince Giordano's Nighthawks.
yeah, then you'd have all the bases.
You get
covered.
Everything. You get all the charts. But yeah, so let's go to that desert island, and we're gonna start with My Troubles Are Over. Well, if you're on a desert island, your troubles are just beginning. But if you've got Ted Weems there, it's not so bad.
Thank you. over. That sweetie of mine gave me a sign, my troubles are over. The family crew, the relatives too, invited me over. They put the okay on me today, my troubles are over. We're planning to settle down in a little suburban town. Who wouldn't like trees, birds, and bees all around? A couple of cars, a couple of kids, a couple in clover. Just picture me there, floating on air, my troubles are over, over. Thank you.